Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have David Leonhard of THGM Writing Services. David, it's awesome to have you on the show.
And it's awesome to be here, Gresh.
Definitely super excited to have you on. And before I jumped in, I wanted to read a little bit more about David so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's doing. And David runs the Happy Guy Marketing, aka THGM Writing Services, from rural Eastern Ontario. He spent many years in public relations and policy development learning how not to write. He now leads a team of writers across North America who serve primarily individuals and small businesses. David, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
I'm happy to do so.
Awesome. Let's do it. So I wanted to jump right in and hear a little bit more about what I call your CEO story and what led you to get started with your business.
Yeah, everybody has their own story, and mine had nothing to do with the business. Actually, it was much more personal, and I was working as an employee. I was working out of home, so I was comfortable with working unsupervised, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But we're in downtown Toronto, which, for those people who don't know, it's kind of like a small Manhattan. For Canada, and a little condo, and had the home office, my wife, and a new baby. There wasn't room really for all of us not to have any kind of lifestyle, so we wanted to move out to the country, and that really spurred the concept of, well, maybe I should go into business for myself. Maybe I should start something up where I don't have to be beholden to someone else to commute into some office somewhere. And that was really the motivation, to be honest.
Nice. And it is so funny that I think we always have to leave room for our lives, our personal lives, especially. Like, we start, not only do our businesses evolve and change, but I think we evolve and change as people. And I love, you know, that so many people, and yourself included, obviously, you know, have a vision for how they want to live your life. And you're able to kind of create the business that's right in alignment with it. Because I think sometimes we miss that aspect.
And work-life balance is always challenging, right? No matter... Mm-hmm. Whether you're in business for yourself, whether you're working for someone else, you're always going. So it's sometimes you just have to make big decisions too. And whether you're already in business, whether you're thinking of doing a business, one thing that I would definitely say needs to be thought of that sometimes is missing is, okay, if this succeeds, if I take this business where I want it to be, what's my life going to be like outside of the business? How long do I put everything on hold because I have to work 24 hours a day?
Exactly. And I think, you know, just speaking right in alignment with that, I think so many times we forget, or we lose sight of, maybe is a better way to say it, of why we started our business. So even, you know, if you have that vision, which I think is a phenomenal exercise to understand exactly what that looks like, what success looks like, because I think it could be different for everybody, but also making sure you keep your eye on that target as, you know, the business starts to grow and expand and you start to grow and expand as well.
Exactly. Yep. Awesome. And sometimes the beast you create can run away with you on its back.
Yes, very, very true. So I absolutely love, as I told you before we got started, you know, the name of your company, the Happy Guy Marketing, THGM Writing Services. So could you take us through exactly what you're doing for your clients there and exactly how that process works?
Well, we're writers, mostly ghost writing. We service individuals primarily and small businesses secondarily. And when I say small, I don't mean under 500 employees. I mean small. A lot of times, solopreneurs, people with businesses of maybe under 25 employees, that kind of thing. But mostly individuals. And we'll do pretty much every kind of writing. I'd say the three big categories are screenplays, books, and web content. And in books, primarily biography, autobiographies or biographies of a loved one often, and fiction. And to some degree, kind of those miscellaneous business, self-help, how-to, personal and business improvement, success genre too. But nowhere near as much as, there's a lot of people who have a story to tell, either their own story or some work of fiction, a horror, sci-fi, whatever it may be, and they come to us.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I think that I think that the ability, you know, as we kind of talked about when you read your bio, the ability to write and to be able to communicate is something that's huge. And I think so many people are doing phenomenal things, or they have phenomenal kind of ideas or maybe concepts, but may not have the, you know, the talent that you and your team have in being able to kind of communicate that.
Yeah, and it's one of the things, and there's a big misconception with fiction, for example, that you want to go out buy a book by your favorite writer. But just because someone's an amazing storyteller doesn't mean that they're an amazing writer. And many times we have managed to put together a writer on our team with someone who has just this amazing idea, plot developed, characters developed, but isn't good at weaving the words. And boom, we're able to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you making that that apparent, so that we know and understand like the difference between the two. Because you're absolutely right, where we can sometimes mold those two things together, but they're not necessarily always in line. Sometimes it's one or the other, and you being able to kind of provide that opportunity to be able to communicate that is huge. And so now I wanted to ask you for what I call your secret sauce, and it could be for yourself or your business. But what do you feel kind of sets you apart and makes you unique?
Well, let's go back to the name, The Happy Guy Marketing. From day one, we recognize that there's an intrinsic value in that name. And that is our goal, really, is to make our clients happy, to make them feel good working with us. There's a lot of people that can write. There's a lot of good writers out there. And when assembling our team, there's obviously, being able to write well was a key element. But the second element was, and this played very strongly as I moved down and realized how many writers, good writers, there were to choose from, is can this writer treat the client when they're working with them like a king or queen and make them feel just happy to have worked with us? And that's really what has distinguished who's on our team and who's not. And that's really been our goal along the way. And everything flows from that, such as flexibility in payment plans, flexibility in just about everything. We have very few rules that simply are drop-dead rules that we cannot violate. Everything is custom and geared toward the customer. I guess that's where the word custom and customer comes from, maybe. But that's our secret sauce. And as a result, we do get a fair amount of referrals and we do get a fair amount of repeat business. And that speaks to, I guess, the fact we've been able to really translate that happy guy into client satisfaction.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes so much sense. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So that could be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
The importance of clear communication. I've worked in organizations at all different types of organizations in terms of structure, and I've worked obviously with my own team, and I've had my share of clients. And there's an awful lot of what I would call either fuzzy or sometimes even passive aggressive communication, where somebody will say what they expect, but leave out some information because they bloody well want the other person to just go do it and don't want to be bothered with the details. And when, whether it's a supplier or an employee or a partner or whatever comes back and wants the details, the person doesn't necessarily give it all because they're just irritated to have to deal with it again instead of thinking, okay, they didn't understand what I wanted. In order to get what I want, I better communicate clearly. And I've seen that missing too often.
That's a great example. And now I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. So that could be like a word of wisdom or piece of advice, or if you can hop into a time machine, what might you tell your younger business self?
Running any organization is a lot of responsibility. Obviously, you're responsible for making a profit because otherwise it fails. You're responsible for your customers. And if you're customer-centric, if you run a customer-centric organization, that usually is top of mind. As we talked about earlier, we're responsible also for our team members, whether they're employees or partners or whoever we're working with. We're responsible for our family, and when you're running a small business where your family time and your business time sometimes overlap and intersect and mix and mingle, but maybe a little like oil and water, you can sometimes forget you're responsible for them too. There's a lot of responsibility, and before going into a business, it's worth thinking about whether you're up for that. And not everybody is, and some people become up to that, and some people don't. But it's always challenging, even if you are. So it's definitely something to keep in mind before entering any venture where you're the person responsible.
Absolutely. And I think so many times I always say, if you're working with clients, you want to make sure that everything's kind of laid out on the table. You have those expectations, you have this understanding of what it is. And I think as you kind of spoke to and said so eloquently, like when you are running a business and thinking about running a business or actually doing it, or, could even be making a change within your business, it's important to kind of understand exactly what that is as much as possible. Because I think that a lot of kind of frustration might come from not having that clear understanding and expectation of what exactly we're doing.
So true.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, and I know you touched on this a little bit, but it's the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote-unquote CEOs on this show. So David, what does being a CEO mean to you?
It means taking responsibility for something. It's your baby. And that doesn't mean to be a tyrant, obviously. In fact, quite the opposite, because taking responsibility means that you're aware of everybody else's needs, both in order to do a good job and of course their own work-life balance and everything. But to be a CEO really does mean taking responsibility of something. You're building that beast. It can run away with you, but like any Bronco, you want to bust it. I think I'm mixing too many metaphors here. Right now.
No, you're fine.
But you want to make sure that it's that what you build isn't really a beast. That it's tame to the extent that you're in control and you're able to take responsibility.
Absolutely. No, I love that. Kind of perspective. And I think so many times that we kind of forget that we are supposed to be servant leaders. And I think understanding that even though you're the quote unquote CEO or whatever title, someone might have, being of service is really the most and best kind of form of leadership, I believe, because you start to put those people first, you start to put, the clients first and the team members first. And then you start to really see some phenomenal things happen when people know that you care for them and you will kind of make sure that their needs are fulfilled as well.
Oh yeah. And it's not easy. No, and there are many times, and it's okay to fail sometimes, just get back up. And I mean, there's plenty of times when my work-life balance has gone all skewy in one direction or the other and looks more like, the wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey thing from Doctor Who. But if you have a beacon, if you have kind of a recognition of the need to take responsibility and for everything, then it's okay to sometimes trip. You just got to get back up and keep that as one of your values.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so important, as you said, to have that beacon to kind of understand like what success looks like or what you want to try to accomplish, but understanding that we're all human. So we do have those times where things kind of ebb and flow, and just be aware of that and not see it as final or as a failure unless we absolutely throw in the towel and quit.
You haven't lived until you failed and gotten back up.
Very true. Very, very true. And David, truly appreciate that perspective. And I appreciate your time even more. What I wanted to do is pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional you can let our readers and listeners know. And then, of course, how best they can get over you and find out about all the awesome things your team is working on.
Yeah. The only other thing that kind of jumped into my head as we were talking here, we're talking to new entrepreneurs, people thinking about building a business, give a lot of thought to what you want to do based on maybe what your skill sets or knowledge is or what you think will make money. But as we've spoken a bit here, it's also important to think about how you want to do it so that you're building a business that's going to reflect your values, because at the end of the day, you're going to someday sell that business or somehow decommission it, and you're going to look back and you're going to ask, what did I do with my life? And did I do something, did I spend my life in a way that I'm going to feel good about? And maybe it's just that I'm a little older, in my 50s, maybe in my 20s I might not be thinking of that, but it's something worth thinking about. Will people have appreciated what I've done, or will it just have, you know, been basically a job, got me money, and other than that, I just say I'd love if people would come, and if they have anything they need written, come to thtmwriters.com. Fill in the yellow query form that floats on the page, and we'll be happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much again, David. We will have the link and information in the show notes, but I definitely, I don't know, some people have described me as an old soul as well. So I definitely think anytime you begin within the mind, as they say in Seven Habits of the Highly Effective People, that's not a bad way to run a business and to run a life on an even deeper level. So I definitely appreciate that reminder and that, you know, reminder of the legacy and how important that is and how we can do that as well.
Old souls are great people, Gresh. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been fun.
You're welcome. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.